Hi, everyone. Welcome to Retro Rewatch, the show where Patrice... Hi, Patrice.
Hi.
Has me, and I'm Jeff, watch shows that I haven't seen before, but she has, so we can discuss them. We are, no surprise here, still deep into Stargate SG-1.
Mm-hmm.
And we are up to Season 4, Episode 10, so we're at about the midpoint on the season.
Yeah. Almost.
Almost. And this one is Beneath the Surface. But before we get any farther, Patrice, how's it going?
I don't know how it is going. Like, the world is weird and it's going to shit, so I think that's about sums it up.
Yeah, I'm with you. That sums it up. At least we have little moments of light like this,
yes,
where we get together and talk about Stargate.
Yes, and I would not say it's little moments of light where we watch the episode, because, well, there's episodes like this one where, yeah, I'll get to that. But little moments of light when we get together and talk about it, that's definitely true.
Right. Yep. Yep. So, well, okay. So Beneath the Surface, we've already established...
It's dark and deep. I don't know.
It's dark and deep, and maybe not the best episode of the entire series.
No, not the worst, not the best.
I think that's a really great assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose we should dive into it. And I mm-hmm. know you always have really interesting facts about the episode to drop on me. So I am here for it.
Yeah, of course I do. As usual, some general production notes first. So this episode aired September 1st, 2000 in the US on Showtime for the first time, and August 1st, 2001 in Germany. So, yeah, long time ago. Been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. IMDb rating is, as usual, very surprising. 7.4. We're solidly in the 7-point-somethings with this episode. The writing credit goes to Heather E. Ash, and I did actually not look up what she has written last when we were talking, but I'll do that in parallel and then report back in a second to you.
Okay.
But the director's credit goes to none other than Peter DeLuise. So one thing we can definitely say is, I mean, the story was, but it was beautifully shot.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Yep.
Yeah. Do you want to know the German title in the meantime?
I do.
You do. And I told you last time already, it would be a big spoiler. It is Der Planet der Eiszeit, the planet of the Ice Age.
Huh.
As usual, I'm like, this is, yeah. The episode's last writing credit, New Ground in Season 3. As a writer, as an editor, of course, all of Season 3, because she was a story editor in Season 3. So, just saying. And there will be at least one more episode we get from her in Season 5. So still got some stuff from her. So Planet der Eiszeit, Planet of the Ice Age. I don't know. Beneath the Surface just sounds more mysterious than Planet der Eiszeit.
I agree.
It's also
this
bad
is
title.
One where the Germans should have just done a straight translation.
Yeah. It's not even a good title, to be honest. Doesn't really capture at all what's going on.
No.
I don't know. Anyway, we have some fun, hopefully, guest stars. Let's start with Brenna, played by Alison Matthews, Canadian actress, born in Montreal, not a surprise. She is best known for the voice of Major, and now I'm probably going to butcher it again, Motoko Kusanagi, in the English dub of Ghost in the Shell, in the Ghost in the Shell anime.
Oh, okay.
also appeared in Battlestar Galactica, the 2004 show.
Okay.
Snow Dogs, Final Destination 2. And currently she's head of coaching at Bard on the Beach Shakespeare Festival in Vancouver.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So that was a recent interview, actually a couple of months ago, Dial the Gate interview in October 2025, if you're interested.
Okay. And shocker, two of the titles that you listed off, I've actually seen.
Which ones?
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, okay.
And all of Battlestar Galactica.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, the rest, Final Destination, I might have seen at some point. Next one is Administrator Calder, played by Laurie Murdoch, also a Canadian actor, of course, known for Spotlight, The Mist, Rookie Blue, Warehouse 13, Handmaid's Tale, and Reacher.
Okay.
Fun fact, he is the father of SG-1 actor Lachlan Murdoch, who plays various minor roles in the franchise. So, family.
Oh, so they let dad come.
Yeah.
Was this episode Bring Your Dad to Work Day? Like, oh, you're here, so
maybe.
We've got a spot for you.
Next up, we have Keegan, played by Kim Hawthorne. She's an actress, of course, again, but this time not Canadian. She's American. There's a surprise for you. And she is best known as Carissa Greenleaf in OWN's Greenleaf, a show from 2016 to 2020. Also appeared in Da Vinci's Inquest.
That would be a very different show.
Da Vinci's Inquest, The Chronicles of Riddick, and Along Come a Spider. Wow, words are hard today.
Yeah, but the way you're messing them up is fantastic.
Great. Then, of course, we have a small cameo of Terrell Rothery as Dr. Fraser. Not a big role today, but she does show up very briefly. We know her. Mm-hmm. Of course, Gary Jones is Walter Harriman. And Major Griff, that we should know, is Russell Ferrier. So there's that.
I like that Major Griff shows up periodically.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing we've discussed before about having continuity with some of these characters.
Yes. Yeah, he did show up before, but we know him from X-Files, from Dark Angel, and from Millennium, just in case you don't remember. We have some production interesting things. So the episode is, of course, a direct homage to Fritz Lang's 1927 silent film Metropolis. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, not a surprise because there's been multiple cases where that same storyline was done and redone. I'll talk about that in a second. Peter DeLuise confirms this, of course, in the DVD commentary. The setup of the underground workers toiling to support oblivious surface elites mirrors the classic film's allegory. So, kind of makes sense. There is a parallel, of course, to, for example, Star Trek Voyager. There's a two-parter episode, way better done than this one, to be honest.
Way better done. Yeah, that would be Workforce, as I recall.
That would be Workforce, exactly. Which incidentally aired 6 months later. So if you thought, oh, they stole from Workforce, no, I don't think anybody stole from anybody.
No, they both stole from Metropolis, apparently.
Exactly. And I mean, you can wonder, both shows shot in Canada, both sci-fi. I'm sure certain substances were at play and they were talking and probably the writers were hanging out somewhere together and both of them took the same story and pitched it. I have no facts backing that up, but it's just too much of a coincidence that within 6 months of each other, and the same story airs in two sci-fi like franchises.
Yeah.
But it's also too close together that you can't say, oh, one stole from the other, because, I mean, by the time they aired, they had been shot a long time. So.
Yeah, I agree. There's no way that, knowing that they could have stolen from each other.
But it's so obvious. Like, I mean, it's very, very, very similar storylines with the kind of the, let's say, brainwashing or implants or whatever you want to call it. It's very similar story. asset, and both kind of stolen from Metropolis. Mm-hmm. The factory set should look familiar.
Oh, very familiar.
It's again the Portman Power Station, used in Tin Man and in Watergate, and also later in another episode, but I'm not going to tell you which one. We'll see it again. There was a kiss planned between, of course, Thera, okay, Sam, and Jonah, Jack.
Glad that didn't happen.
It was scripted, but they cut it out during editing before even doing that. The Heather E. Ash, the writer, she explained like there was going to be fan service, of course. Kind of what we've already had, we'll get them to kiss, but it won't mean anything. But I wanted to be the person to do the thing, but the other episode had already aired, basically, by that point. So they didn't want to repeat, so they cut it out.
And I think it worked much better without a kiss.
Yes. Producer Joseph Malossi later revealed that Amanda Tapping felt it was too much and too soon after the Jack and Sam moments in Divide and Conquer and Window of Opportunity already. So the intimate hand-on-shoulder moment remained instead, which I think works really well. I think that is, it still shows the intimacy without crossing any line.
I agree. It worked really well, much better than a kiss would have.
Originally in the script, when Sam tries to remember things from her past, she was supposed to say she kept thinking about this guy, Manolo. He must have been like my boyfriend or something. The joke being that she was actually remembering Barry Manilow songs stuck in her head.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
This was then replaced with the Homer joke that Jack later like used with the Homer and Homer Simpson, a.k.a. George Hammond.
I like the running Homer Simpson.
Yes, that was much
gags.
Better. Yeah. I have some background on how Brad Wright was working with Heather Ash. He's not editing directly. He's just like, hey, let me pitch you how I thought it would be a good way. Which is really code for, I'm going to do it this way, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to agree with the change I'm about to make.
All right.
Yeah. If you couldn't tell, then the stream sequence reused footage of an activating Stargate from Small Victories, cutting away before Thor emerges, a common cost-saving practice for expensive VFX shots. And I can tell you, not the only one, because there's another one that was reused that I have later.
I wonder if it's what I'm thinking of.
Probably.
There is one point we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Where, and when I say we'll get to it, you'll get everything in the right order, and I won't. But there's a point where there's a Stargate shot, and I'm like.
Huh. Yes, I think I know which one you mean, because it's the one that I also noted where I'm like, yeah, that was from a very different episode. So should we jump in?
Yeah, I guess
that's
so.
That's what I have so far. So we start with half naked people.
Oh, right. Yep. We have the half naked people. They stay focused on a shirtless mm-hmm. guy that's mm-hmm. pretty ripped mm-hmm. for a little bit longer
nice
than
at.
I would have expected.
Very nice.
Yeah, they did an eye candy shot.
Oh yes,
and and Teal'c, he's shirtless as well. He has cloth mm-hmm. wrapped around his abdomen.
Yeah, the junior pouch, I called it.
The junior pouch, yeah. And so everyone's getting up. It's like morning time because mm-hmm. they're all getting up to go to a group meal, and it's clear that this is like a dormitory type thing, mm-hmm. that a bunch of people living in bunk beds, and mm-hmm. So the rest of our Stargate team shows up. They're dressed in worker clothes as well, and I believe there's a dress code in this facility.
Yeah,
where looks like it. if you're well, it's not the one you're thinking of. This is the one where if your muscle mass percentage falls below a certain threshold, you have to wear a shirt.
Oh, okay.
Because Jack and Daniel are both wearing shirts.
Yeah. That's true. Teal'c is not.
And Teal'c is not. And all of the people.
There was an order from up high, like high up the food chain, about like, okay, if your fat percentage is below 10%, then you're not allowed to wear shirts.
Yeah.
And of course, we're not giving you enough food that you could change that.
So there you go. Yeah. So anyhow, there's like small talk, and they're all mm-hmm. heading off to get their breakfast. And the way our Stargate team is acting, you can tell something's off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Jack and Sam and Daniel all kind of get together, but Daniel has a different name. Jack has a different name.
Yeah.
And there's
a fight between Carter, who wants bread, and Keegan, who doesn't want to give her and says, oh, there's none.
That's right. They're in the food line.
Yeah, they're in the food line. And that's where we get introduced to everybody. And I guess not clear in the beginning. Do they know each other or talk to each other or not? And then Daniel calls Jack Jonah. So that's the start. And then they start fighting.
Right. And then Teal'c jumps in and he's like, you can't do this. This is wrong. You were friends. Yeah. O'Neill, you're friends. Something like that.
We're part of something called SG-1. I'm Teal'c. Do you not remember? That's what he said.
And they don't remember. Yeah. And Teal'c gets piled on by a bunch of shirtless guys.
Yeah.
And drug off.
Yeah. Taken upstairs, like, they call it.
Taken upstairs. And everyone's like, oh, he's got the night sickness thing. Yeah. So then one of the supervisors, like, just give her the damn bread.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of not bread. It looks more like crackers, to be honest.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of hardtack. It's like that cracker... Sort of bread from the Civil War.
Yeah. Something like that. It looked, as I said, more like crack, like that, actually. Yeah. And Carter's name is we learned, is Thera.
Okay, right, Thera. And as far as I remember, that's it. Okay.
That's it. we don't get any mystery hook or whatever. Like, this is it.
So.
I mean, maybe a Teal'c thing, but like, that's it.
Well, the setup that I thought we were getting was mm-hmm. that we're going to get a Teal'c focused episode where mm-hmm. he has to be the person that saves the rest of the team,
mm-hmm.
And so there's all this subterfuge and fighting, and
we didn't get any of that. And, I mean, half of the time Teal'c was lying in the infirmary or whatever, like unconscious. That was basically it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the whole thing, the whole setup that we got immediately leads to letdown.
Yes.
Because it turns out it's not a Teal'c episode.
No, it's not at all. Did you get that they were not, I mean, did you get that there's something going on where they're not pretending they're someone else, they're thinking they're someone else?
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that was obvious when Teal'c starts his whole thing.
Yeah.
And so the other thing I'm thinking as we get to the opening credits is, oh, yeah, I remember the Star Trek Voyager episode of this.
Yeah, of course, with 20-something, 25, 26 years hindsight, we of course know the story and we know it from Voyager probably more than from it. I mean, to be honest, I know the story from Voyager more than this one because honestly, I did not remember this story. I mean, I did when I saw it. I was like, oh, that's that one. But like, it's not something that like you remember. Whereas in the Voyager one, you're like, oh yeah, I remember they did that.
Yeah. Well, in Voyager, they did it as a two-part episode.
Yes.
So they had the ability to like really go into things mm-hmm. and explore this world
yeah.
with these alternate identities. And yeah.
Yeah, all of that, as I said. So that this one here, I did not remember. It's not a memorable episode, to be honest. It's not bad per se. It's just not memorable. Yeah. So we get after the credits.
Oh, yeah. So we come back and Teal'c's back and...
It's apparently 5 days later.
Yeah, which I don't realize at first. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. But then I figure that out.
Yeah, I think they mentioned that.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so now we get a little more backstory because we don't have an exposition room.
Mm-hmm.
We have periodic... I'll call them exposition workstations.
It's true.
And so we find out that all these people are underground, that they're on a planet that's experiencing an ice age, and the work that these people are doing keeps the power plant running so that they can all stay alive.
Yeah, exactly. And Carter is still being Carter. She might have a different name.
Yeah, she's still being Carter.
But she is still, like, she's always inventing, fixing, changing. Like, she's always tinkering.
Yes, and she has found a way to improve. It's like the pressure monitoring mm-hmm. for the pipelines. Yeah. And so she presents this to the supervisor.
Yeah.
And so the supervisor's like, okay, well, why don't you come up to my office and let's go over this stuff.
Yeah.
And we do get to see Jack and Sam interacting a little bit more.
Maybe a little flirting almost, I would say.
Yeah. And yes, I'd say so. So... I think this is where Daniel confronts Teal'c.
No. We start out. So Daniel is at this point, like, it's not that they're friends or whatever and they're all together. No, Daniel is separate. Daniel is with Keegan.
Oh, yep, that's right.
Remember the lady who didn't want to give Carter the bread? That's her.
Right.
Yeah. And Daniel is talking to Keegan about like Jack and about Teal'c. Like that fight and everything that happens. And Keegan is kind of complaining about Carter. Like she's like, oh, she thinks she's better than us. Better than the rest of us and all of that. And she thinks.
Yeah. So
and Daniel is like Teal'c. Teal'c said we're friends, and then she corrects him and says his name is Tor, not Teal'c.
Yeah, and
so I think he's remembering something because that he say his name was Teal'c?
He did.
I think so. He did. Okay, that's why. Okay.
I thought he did.
I thought maybe he did.
Yeah, because he asks Jack specifically if he remembers him,
mm-hmm.
and I think he says,
"I'm like, Teal'c."
I'm
Teal'c. Yeah, he says,
"Don't
he
you
says,
remember who I am?"
Yeah. Okay, so that see that point that explains it. I was thinking, does he remember something? But no, actually, he remembers Teal'c actually saying it earlier. So that kind of makes sense.
But I mean, this would have been a great place for this to be the starting point for our star's memories to start resurfacing.
Yeah, but they don't. And this is when we go to SGC.
Okay, so this So when you go to SGC, I believe this is where Hammond is talking with the administrator person.
Yes, he will. Yes, yes. So first, we see the Stargate activate, and that is where we see all the stuff that's packed up.
Right.
Oh, like there's tarps over everything or whatever, and that's actually a goof. It's a goof in the sense of this is a reuse from what was it? This season one cliffhanger?
Okay.
Where the Stargate was shut. Yeah, season one, where the Stargate was shut down. The Stargate program.
Okay. So I wasn't sure which end was the goof. With where it's covered or later where it's not covered, because it's a continuity thing.
Yeah, but here it should not be covered.
It should, right? Yeah. So
the Stargate program is still active, so it should not be covered.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I of course had the order wrong. I thought that Hammond talked with the administrator and then sent his people through, but it turns out
I'm backwards. He does, but this is the first time. This is basically where it starts and where we get the video link. So the Stargate activates and we get the video link to the administrator. This is where it starts.
So you got
the story right.
Oh my God. So I've already got this so convoluted in my head.
Yeah. The Stargate activates. And then Hammond, the Sergeant Davis is there, and then Hammond is standing there talking to a technician, and then we get a video link to P3R118, and Hammond starts to talk to Administrator Calder, over video.
Okay, so, yep, I've got it now.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's so lame. It's the whole thing with when that communication happens and when the team gets back, the search and rescue team gets back, and I had that all convoluted. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But here it's literally Calder reports back and says, oh, we didn't find anything there. We don't see how SG-1 could have survived this long, blah, blah, blah. But Hammer is not willing to give up and wants to send, he calls it, specialized equipment, which Calder is not happy about, but eventually he just gives up. It's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah. So then...
Next we go to his office, so after the call.
Basically. Right, okay. So now I know what happens.
Yeah.
And I want to point out, Patrice, that you're so incredibly patient dropping the little breadcrumbs to bring me back to the right place.
Yes.
So this is where the administrator and the supervisor talk.
No, and, not yet.
Oh, my God. Okay. So what happens?
he sent some, I don't remember, some other person to grab Brianna because he wants to know how the new workers are doing. That's what he says.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So, So then that means the next thing that happens is we see Daniel's Stargate dream, right?
Correct. That is the next thing. Yes.
Okay. And so in the scene, Daniel sees the open Stargate.
Yes.
And Jack is standing there and tells him, says, just... You need to go on through.
Yeah.
And Daniel's
And they're they're wearing the new clothes, not the Stargate uniforms or anything. So they're wearing their current clothes, you could call it.
Yeah. And so I think this is where I was getting everything convoluted up because,
yes.
Because now we have the Stargate, the search and rescue team, they're talking over radio through the wormhole.
Yes. Yeah. The second call. So SGC real world and they're calling in that they have there's bad conditions there. It's really, really bad.
Yeah. So, okay. And this is where I have to give you full disclosure, both for you, Patrice, and all of our listeners. This is the point where I was really already losing interest in the episode.
Me too.
And I got up and I was making snacks. I checked on my cat.
Yeah.
But it's all in the same room.
Yeah.
So the TV's still going and I'm watching the episode. And
I'll tell you something. Usually when I'm recording that, and taking notes or whatever, I might pause to take notes. Or I might pause because I have to go somewhere and do something else for a little bit longer. Like, I don't know, if I'm watching during lunch break and I'm running out of time, I might pause and then continue later. In this episode, I was constantly pausing and wandering around and doing things because I got bored. Yeah, and my brain was like, I need something. I need to do something else, squirrel, all the time. Literally, I had to go back a couple of times even and finish my notes on stuff because I'm just so bored.
I didn't even pause, Patrice.
Yeah, but you didn't have to take notes, right?
Okay, there is that. But I probably should have because I've got this episode all messed up.
You got me for that.
I mean, luckily for me, where my TV sits, mm-hmm. for me to go and get a snack, mm-hmm. the TV stays in view the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the first time I've watched an episode where I got up and started doing other things.
Yeah, is it? I mean, for me, that's normal because that's ADHD for you. But usually when I'm taking notes or whatever, I can control that to some extent. But this time I literally could not. I was literally constantly doing something else, getting up, doing whatever. Then having to go back.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah. Yes.
I have a 50-50 chance.
That, by the way, it also explains why sometimes my notes are very short, but I'm just literally yada-yadding over stuff that happens. I'm like, 4 bullet points, this is what happens in this scene, because it's literally so boring that it's not worth mentioning.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I've got a 50-50 chance of knowing that comes next.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, for this thing, as where we get a call in, literally, my is, Hammond is checking on the team, bad conditions. That's literally my notes for this. For this entire scene. Because that's all we need to know.
That's it. That's all we need to know.
Yeah. I mean, it was not that much longer, to be honest, in real. But there was more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we go to the planet. Oh, there's a funny mistake in my script here. In my notes, it says plant. It's a planet. Yes, I was bored. Plant.
Okay. So my 50-50 chance was we are going either to the office mm-hmm. where the administrator's talking to the supervisor and getting a report, or we watch everyone doing manual labor.
Yes. We watch Teal'c and Daniel do manual labor and talk.
So now Teal'c, our freshly mind-wiped Teal'c, mm-hmm. still has the bandage thing around his abdomen.
Yeah, the junior.
Just pumping that out because I need to bring that up in a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, so everyone's doing their manual labor, and Daniel tries to talk to Teal'c. Teal'c doesn't want to have anything to do with him. And
not only that, he denies that he ever said anything to begin with.
Yeah.
And then he basically tells Daniel, don't talk to me again.
Yeah, but there's a fun little thing in this scene mm-hmm. that I liked. Okay. Because Daniel asks him about the mark on his forehead. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's a birthmark.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I think Daniel says, you think I would remember something like that? Well, you didn't.
Yeah, you didn't.
You didn't. You didn't remember. So Daniel, I think he talks to Kagan, because he's starting to think something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But she is telling him that he should probably shut up because people are starting to think he's night sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Summarized a whole ass scene in 4 bullet points.
There you go.
That's all you need to know here.
All right. So then that means the other half of my 50-50 guess. Yes. Now we go to the office for the status report on our new workers.
Yes.
And
it's the exposition office, because finally we start to understand what's really going on.
Right. So we find out that they have this mind wiping procedure.
Memory stamp, they call it.
Yeah. So it overwrites your actual memories with a fake set of memories, a new identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the reason it has worked on everyone except Teal'c is because Teal'c has Junior, and Junior was able to resist. But don't worry, we've got it right now. It's all good.
Yeah, that's what she says.
And she also tells the administrator that about Carter's ideas.
Correct.
And the administrator's like, nope, not going to happen.
Yeah. And the reason he gives is they can't tell the workers the truth, and the city wouldn't accept lowly workers anyway. So because if they did and they improved things and whatever, then they wouldn't need the workers, and then they would want to come up and all of that.
And they don't want the worker class around.
He's like, right now in our city, Brianna, we have no crime, no unemployment. They're happy where they are. That's what the stamp assures. So let's not rock the boat, basically.
And if I'm remembering correctly, he kind of gives her a veiled threat of like, look, if you can't make this work the way I want, I'll find someone else who can. So the implication is she would get her mind stamped, and then she would be just another manual laborer.
Yes. I think that happens later. It might be wrong, but I think that happens later. Oh.
Well, it can happen anywhere in this episode, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So then logically, the flow would mean that Sam now finds out that her plan are going to be shot down.
Yes.
And she's disappointed.
Yeah. Comes up with an excuse, because she says uninterrupted production is more important than efficiency.
Which is so corporate.
So corporate, yes. And by the way, dismissed. And we get something, I don't know if you caught that. Carter says something I think we've heard before, but it starts to be repetitive, and you're like, okay, that must be part of the stamping, because Carter says, it's my honor to serve.
Oh, yeah, it's my honor to serve. We hear people saying that a lot.
And the reason I'm pointing that out is that will at some later point be important. Mm-hmm. That thing that told me something that was maybe subtle.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to hear what it is, because I was probably making a snack when it happened.
Probably. Probably. We will be back in the administrator's office when it happens, but not yet. We're going to start our places first.
So, then I think I saw the scene. Okay. So then...
Carter goes to Jack to complain.
Oh, right. Okay. So they have a little consolation thing.
Yeah.
And where she's like, I can't believe she won't do this. She was really into the ideas.
Yeah.
And so Jack says, well, you know, it's a lot of big stuff. Give her some little things so you can build into it.
Yeah. And he does, Carter is like, how do you stay so calm? Jack says, I think in another life I've handled dangerous explosives. And she's like, what do you mean in another life? And O'Neill's like, I didn't mean anything by it. It's just an expression, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Is it? Yeah.
Is it though? Yeah, he actually did handle explosives and other stuff, other weapons.
Yeah. And okay, so now we're going to have a new scene. So this, I think, is the scene that I was getting convoluted with everything else. With the search and rescue team.
Yes. They're coming back.
They come back, and we see the Stargate without stuff on it. Or the sheets are all gone.
Yes.
And and our
Griff, Major Griff.
Thank you, Major Griff. He tells Hammond there's no trace of the people out there at all. Can't find them anywhere.
He found no sign, and Hammond is like, "So what does it mean?" And he's like, "No, sir. When I say there's no sign, I mean literally there's no trace. I can't imagine a scientific reason Major Carter or Dr. Jackson might have had to want to check out those ice fields. But even if they wanted to go out there, there's no way in hell Colonel O'Neill would have let them." So, I think Hammond points out, it's like, Calder says they went. And then Griff is like, "Then I'd say he's a damn liar."
Pretty straightforward there. I do like that about Griff.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to be diplomatic. That's Hammond's job.
Right. But he does need to be very clear with Hammond.
Yeah. 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 He's smelling something very, very, very fishy. Even in the ice and the bad conditions, it stinks.
It still stinks. Yep. And it stinks of a damn liar.
Yes. Yeah, and I think Hammond is also starting to suspect that. He's like, something's... Well,
I do remember the look on Hammond's face. Yeah. And the look on his face was displeasure mixed with, "I may have to crack some skulls."
Yeah. He looks angry.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Much better way to put it. He looks angry.
Yeah.
He's not angry with Griff.
No, not angry at Griff. He's angry at Collar because he's like, he's lying to us. Yeah. So where do you guess we go next?
Well, we're just jumping back and forth between Stargate Command and the power plant facility. Yes. So we're going to go back there.
Yes.
Daniel's
starting to ask more questions now.
Okay. So Daniel's asking more questions. He's wondering about Jack and Sam. He thinks maybe they were friends.
Yeah, he's like, "I'm just wondering if Jonah and Thera were ever my friends." And he's of course with Keegan still, right? Because she hates the others. So, and Diana likes her, I guess. So, you know, she's attractive. So I guess that's why. So of course he doesn't interact with them too much yet.
Right, but it's not stopping him from wondering if they had been friends.
Yeah, and she says, "And all I'm saying is that if you're friends with those two, you're not mine." She is very direct.
She is very direct, yep.
Yeah. And then Teal'c collapses, I think.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's working one of the pump, or valve levers or something.
Something like that.
And then he collapses.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Yeah. The thing that this Sam predicted.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
The thing Sam predicted.
Yeah.
Yep. And so Sam, she knows how to fix it, but someone has to go and actually release the valve Teal'c was at.
Yeah.
So Jack takes off to go do it.
Yeah.
And Daniel ends up coming along too.
Yes.
And so they work together and
they hammer the valve. Literally, they take sledgehammers and just
hammer it until it breaks off.
Yes. And then the pressure drops. Yay. Everybody's saved.
Yeah. And so the supervisor.
Yeah. Brianna.
She shows up at this point. And she's like, "Good job. We're still not fixing anything."
Yeah, it basically is. Carter is, again, very upset about.
But now we have our main cast minus Teal'c together in a situation where they can actually talk with each other.
Correct. And Daniel just throws it in. Like, Carter's still complaining about what's going on, and Daniel brings up Teal'c and what he said. He said we were part of something called SG-1. What is that?
And I do remember Jack saying something to the effect of, "Well, that's a stupid name for a team."
Exactly. What kind of name is that for a team, he says. And Daniel says, I don't know. Look, I just think I'm supposed to be doing something more important. But he doesn't know what exactly. It's like, I don't know. Just something more important. He's like, I just have this feeling that all of us are part of some bigger, grander thing. Jack says, I understand. Not. He doesn't.
No. But they do agree to meet and talk more.
Yeah. I do remember that. I mean, Daniel mentions his dream. Like,
Oh, right. And then Sam's like, OMG, I had the same dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's the point where then they say, okay, we'll meet. We probably shouldn't be talking here in the open with everybody around. And they will think we're night sick and all of that. So let's meet after lights out. So they do.
They just
literally jump ahead. And then I think someone says, so?
I think it's Daniel says, so?
And Carter says, so?
This is where we get Daniel asking Jack about his dream.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack's like, well, Jack's I dream like, about well, other things.
Yeah. So basically, Jack is still the typical Jack. He's like he's trying to dismiss things and like, oh, let's like not talk about it, because I think the last person who asked questions got his rations cut for half a month, and actually he was a foreman, I think, before, and he cut someone's rations, something like that. And Daniel brings it up. He's like, what if our memories have been somehow altered? And Jack's like, my memory's fine.
And then Daniel's like, so what'd you do before you're here? I worked in the mines. What'd you do? I mined.
Then what'd you do?
Excuse me.
And he's like, I remember shoveling ore into a cart, and I did that a lot.
Right. But as he's probing and asking more about what he did before he got here,
yeah,
Jack realizes that he really doesn't remember anything else.
Yeah, the story is very thin, and Carter was there apparently, and she's like, I remember a feeling of cold and darkness, and then Daniel's like, that's where you two met, and she's like, Jack is like, yeah, and she's like, really? So the stories are, Yes. So Carter jumps in and it's like, okay, let's assume this is right. So if you're right, then everything we remember about this place is a lie. It's like, and Daniel says, it's like a facade. It only works if we don't dig too deep beneath the surface, if we don't question it. So that's what we have to do. We have to question every assumption. Good point. You should generally do that in life.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have to keep it a secret so they don't think they're night sick, right?
Right. Yeah. So is this where Sam says to Jack, yes, sir?
Yes. She says, I think Jack asks, what if we're night sick? And Carter answers, I don't think so, sir.
And he's like, sir? And she says, yeah, it's just an expression, isn't it?
Yeah, they were using a lot of expressions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So where do we go next?
Well, we're scene jumping, so we have to go back to Stargate Command.
Correct.
I have literally no idea what happens, though.
Okay, what's our favorite room in Stargate Command?
The exposition room. So we go there. Oh, so this is where we get Doc Fraser showing
Correct.
Up, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
so she has the health report of Griff and of the team. And she's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, other than a little bit frostbite, they're all fine. Frostmite is bad, but okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, these are tough people. They're part of Stargate.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so they.
Yeah.
That there's a discussion about why they can't just do a military action against these people to try and find their team.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically he doesn't have authorization. Like she asked if they got any word from the planet, and he says, yeah, Calder called me, and basically they searched the city and turned up nothing. And she's like, so that's it? And he's like, short of going to war, all we can do is break off diplomatic relations, and I'm not authorized to do that yet.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Why? She figured it out, of course. She's like, so I guess they have something we want. And he's like, yeah, they have quite advanced in metallurgical.
Yeah.
Yes, and chemical technologies. Yeah, words are hard today. And of course they also want something from us.
Mm-hmm.
Which is gate addresses.
This is where Hammond's like actually they need us more than we need them.
Correct, yeah. As far as I'm concerned, they need us a hell lot more than we need them. Apparently, Administrator Calder doesn't seem to think so. Frankly, I think he likes things just the way they are. Yes, he does.
Yeah, he has a very nice status quo going on for himself.
Yeah. Yeah. So Hammond orders Griff to come up with a covert search and rescue plan.
Mm-hmm.
And Fraser is, I'm volunteering.
Go Doc Fraser.
Yeah, and Hammond's like, I'll keep that in mind. I don't think she's the first choice for a covert search and rescue team, but I understand it. I mean, she's friends with Sam, and like she's concerned.
Well, and they might need medical attention.
Yeah, but for a covert search and rescue, I'm still not sure the head of medicine should go there.
Well, nonetheless, she's ready.
She's ready, yeah. And Hammond just says, I'll keep that in mind.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so we've got our exposition room. So mm-hmm. We go back to the planet.
Correct.
And I think this is the scene where Jack and Sam are talking about their past lives that they can't remember.
Yes.
And how they think they mean something to each other.
Not quite. That comes a little bit later. Or that comes kind of in the scene, but it starts somewhere else. So it starts at food again. Food time. Goo and crackers, I call it.
Mm.
And Jack reveals to Carter that I dreamed about mining naked.
Well, he did dream about other things.
Okay, interesting. Carter also, she's starting to remember things. Or she's like, a lot of numbers and letters keep popping in my head. And she starts rattling it off. SG-1, DHD, GDO.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel's there right now as well. And he's like, sounds like gibberish to me.
Well, yeah. You know, if you're not a fan, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Oh, this is where Jack takes a bowl from one of the the shirtless workers.
Yes, which I still haven't figured out what that really was about, but okay.
Yeah, but apparently he equates Tupperware with previous life memories and Hammond.
Yeah, with Hammond, I guess. Oh, okay, yeah, actually that makes sense. But yeah, it's like a white bowl and he turns it around and just stares at it. And Carter's like, what's going on? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, but
yeah.
But his Tupperware helps him have flashbacks.
Yes, because he sees Jack in Calder's office. Like he's there.
Yeah.
And he says something about very impressive. That's it. Like it's not super deep. And he keeps staring at the ball. So they're flashing. And then we switch to the other side of that because Daniel's not there, I think, or is not alone there at least. Keegan is with him.
Oh, right. And she reminds him of her ultimatum.
Yes. Yeah. She's not happy that she's with them. We get a little... We haven't heard from Teal'c in a while. Right?
He collapsed. Okay.
So as I said, he doesn't do much most of the rest of the episode. So.
Yeah. So this is the thing that I wanted to bring up. So mm-hmm. in this Teal'c scene, he's laying on a bed mm-hmm. and the supervisor person is there and a medic.
Yeah.
And so the medic goes to take his Teal'c's wrapping off of his abdomen and she tells him he cannot do that. Under no circumstances is he allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And he's like, fine, whatevs. and so then it's clear that he's getting worse mm-hmm. and could die potentially. Mm-hmm. And so but everyone leaves him, and then Teal'c opens his eyes because mm-hmm. he was faking his So he starts to undo the wrappings. And so here's the problem that I have. He had come back mm-hmm. And he's there long enough to be doing some work. Mm-hmm. Would it not have occurred to him at any point to look and see what's under the wrapping?
Apparently not. Now? They probably stamped it in a way that he's not supposed to touch it, or some medics told him, and he, of course, is there to serve, so he didn't.
So he served. Yeah. But anyhow, he starts taking the wrappings off.
Yeah, because he starts to remember again. I mean, you know, that's why he collapsed. Like, it's still not working. Like before.
Yeah. And clearly and now, it's mm-hmm. it's wearing off on everyone else.
Yes. Yes. And this is where we get the Carter and Jack sitting side by side.
Okay. And I did like this scene. Mm-hmm. They're going back and forth. They're trying to figure out what their relationship was before they got here.
Yeah.
And this is where we get the Homer joke that I love.
Yes. Yeah, because Jack is starting to remember Hammond, and he's like, I remember something. There was a man. He was bald and wears a short sleeve shirt, and somehow he's very important to me. I think his name is Homer.
I love that. The Simpsons running jokes, mm-hmm. I enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is where Carter then puts her head on Jack's shoulder, which is the replacement for the kiss, which I think it's a very sweet moment. It shows the closeness of them, which is a real thing, right? That we know that from even before time. So they clearly feel that and we feel that, but it's not said, no lines are crossed as far as I'm concerned.
I felt this worked much better than having them kiss.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very sweet moment without being over the top, to be honest.
I'm with you. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Jack is like, I remember something else. He's like, feelings. Mm-hmm. Feelings for Carter? No, for Tor.
Yeah. Carter's like, for me? Yes, no, for Tor.
Yeah. Which, of course, was I mean, he says it in a sarcastic way. So.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they laugh. And he's like, I don't remember much, but I do remember that. Yeah. And he's like, I'm just saying. Like, and she's like, okay, I feel better. Like, so sweet moment.
And I was back on the couch for this, so I remember mm-hmm. that now we get we go back to the exposition office.
Correct.
and we get for the people that hadn't picked up what's being put down yet, mm-hmm. we get the dialogue explaining that. That Teal is getting worse. He may die, and mm-hmm.
And she thinks the others. Yeah, she thinks the others are also remembering, which she's right about.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she's like, but no worries, I can restamp them.
But Calder's like, you know...
he's like, no, no,
should just
I think,
get rid of them.
It's like, no, no, I think it was time they found out what it is like outside.
Yeah,
and she's trying to like convince him that she's trying to convince him not to kill them, because I mean he clearly wants them gone, right? And she's like, all they really did was disapprove of the treatment of the workers. And he's like, no, no, they did much more than disapprove. They passed judgment on us, Brianna. I'm simply doing the same. And this is where he says, if you, for some reason you can't comply with my orders, .. like a veiled threat. He
does not finish. Okay, so this is where a veiled threat comes in.
Yeah. And this is where she says, it's an honor to serve, administrator. Led me to believe that she was stamped too.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way. For the way I was thinking of it was, everyone who's in a subservient position,
this is
the required response.
I don't know. It's too much of a coincidence that it's said so many times by those people that are stamped. That I'm like, and especially how he reacts to it, because he says yes, it is, in a very smarmy way. Like he's like.
So yeah, maybe that is.
I'm sure he's taking advantage of all those women being stamped. That's kind of my reading of the situation. Her especially.
It just gets her worse especially. The more I think about it.
Yes, her especially, I think. Like, yeah. Just the way he smiles at her, all of that, I'm like, that led me to believe, okay, one, he stamped her, and two, I think, not just for working in the plant.
Yeah, that's yeah, now it's just super creepy.
Yes.
Okay, so that means it's time to go back to our favorite only partially stamped now team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, this is where we get the big reveal of what happened.
Yes, pretty much.
Because
so Jack wakes up and he still has the bowl. And he's staring at it, and then he remembers more of... I mean, we knew that staring at it, he was remembering something.
Mm-hmm.
So he remembers the conversation he had with Calder in his office, basically. And because he said... You remember when he remembered? Very impressive, what he said.
Mm-hmm.
There was a second part to that. Because he said, too bad it's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because, and he reveals, he's like, while we were on the grand tour, Carter spotted some ventilation shafts coming out of apparently nowhere. We checked it out. I can see how you wouldn't want outsiders to know about the slave labor force you keep underground. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he basically says, administrator, I will not recommend trade with a culture that enslaves its own people. I don't care what kind of technology you have to offer. That was the death blow, basically. And that was the reason where Calder was like... And Jack is kind of interested in how they did it. He's like, so how did you do it? And he's like, what's the secret? Starvation, torture? and Calder just says, I'll show you.
Yeah. And apparently showing was actually doing it to them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that's what happened. And that's when Jack wakes up. And he wants to tell Carter, I think, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But they get called to Brianna's office.
So the three of them get to Brianna's office.
Mm-hmm.
And
they bring in Teal'c as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. I thought he came in later in the scene. But no, the fact that I remember he was in the scene at all is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. He gets brought in, and then the people who are bringing him get dismissed, so they don't hear what's going on. And she points, like, I think Carter asked, like, what's wrong with Teal'c? And she said that Vienna says he's dying. And Daniel says, kill Noreen.
Oh, right. And Jack's like, oh, yeah, I remember that thing.
Yeah, it's kind of, he actually remembers, like, it's kind of meditation. He used to do it every day or he gets sick, right? And then Carter's like, so why doesn't he do it? Well, okay. Obvious, because he doesn't remember.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
With his little memory stamp.
Yeah. And then Brianna kind of...
She spills the beans.
She spills the bean. Like, you were all sent down. At first, I thought it was necessary to protect the city. But now things have gone too far. You don't belong here. You need to return to your own world. Your memories will be back. We'll come back more quickly once you return home. But plot twists are not really unpredicted.
Yeah, totally expected.
Totally expected.
Oh, no, the bad guy shows up.
The bad guy shows up as guards, because, of course, he expected her to spill the beans because she is not that bad and, I think, kind of expected. So I think he shoots Brianna in the arm, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he shoots her, but it's, yeah, so probably in the arm. Yeah,
yeah, something in the arm. And I think he orders the guards to shoot them as well, I think. But Teal'c basically gets up and just mm-hmm. knocks down the guard that is standing next to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone's memory is mostly back, just like that.
Yeah. And they overwhelm the Calder and the rest of the guards, and Carter rushes to Brianna to check on her. And Jack is like, Teal'c, you're right. And Teal'c, of course, is right. Yeah. He did kill Noreen.
Yeah. How about that? He remembered.
Yeah.
So they take bad guy outside of the office, which is at a railing where they look down on the worker area.
Not quite yet.
Oh, not quite yet.
We'll get to that. Because Jack is like, okay, he's like, okay, let's go. And Calder is like, you will never make it back to the Stargate. And he's like, well, you know, we've got you as a hostage. I don't see a problem. And Daniel reminds him, like, we can't tell the people. We have to tell those people what's happening, right? We can't just leave. Yeah.
And he's right.
Yeah, and that's when they go outside.
And that's when they go out. Okay, yeah. So they're at the railing, and yeah. They get everyone's attention and yeah. explain what yeah. what bad guy's doing. And bad guy's like, don't believe him, night sickness, blah, sort yeah. of thing.
He, Daniel starts, is like, I'd like to introduce you to someone. This man, he's been keeping you locked up down here while he and his friends live up there on the first surface. But as you said, like, the workers don't believe them, and Calder, of course, like, he's leaning into it. He's like, oh, they're night sickness and whatever, and they don't believe them. That's all a lie and whatever. Jack is like, there's this nice little tropical planet out there where beaches go forever. Never mind. That's actually afterwards.
Oh my God, I'm rubbing off on you.
Yes. No, it's actually like he's basically they said they don't believe him, and then Jack is like, you want proof? And he looks at the skylights and they're all like, oh, you can't do that, we're all gonna die, and then he just shoots it.
And I had a horrible problem with this because the skylight is over the people.
Yes.
The special effect is horrible.
Yes.
But all of the glass shatters
yeah.
and rains down on where the people are.
Yes.
But it doesn't actually rain down on them.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's fake sunlight coming in, and we see the city in the background. And there's no ice, there's no snow. But Calder had one point. because he says, you know, you've accomplished nothing. These people will never be accepted in the city.
And
Jack is like, well, you're right about that. And then he's like, we're going to offer them a better place. And that's when Jack says, there's this nice little tropical planet where the beach is gone forever. This I remember clearly. You and your people can do your own shoveling for a while. And Calder's like, you're destroying our way of life. And Jack is like, that's a shame.
Yeah. Oh, boo-hoo, pal.
Exactly. Let's go. Yeah.
And I believe that's it. That's the end of our episode.
Not quite. Because we still get, I mean, they basically, they go back into Rubina's office and they're leaving through the door, and Jack and Carter stay back, and she's like, Colonel. He's like, Major. The bald man that you remember, General Hammond. He's from Texas, you know. It's all coming back. He's looking at her, and he says, sir. And then he looks at Carter and he says, let's go home.
And oh, she says, yeah, and they yes, have sir. That kind of melancholy look on their face.
Yeah, they know. Didn't he say something that he kind of, it wasn't all bad or something? I think something like that. Or it was implied, at least. Like, that's basically,
yeah.
There were some aspects that they didn't like about this place. And very clearly hinting at, okay, that was their relationship, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
So then that's when it ends.
That's when it ends. Yeah. We needed that little closure of their relationship, right? I mean, you couldn't just be like, oh, nothing happened, let's go away. Like, something didn't happen. And it's okay to acknowledge that and simply say, well, we got something similar in the Voyager episode, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Yeah, because there was the relationship between Chakotay and Janeway, I think. Or supposed relationship, that something like that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Turns out it was just their friendship playing through, but in this case, yeah. There's more. Yeah. So that's the end.
Well, we got to the end. Mm-hmm. With a lot of help from you.
Yeah, and me yada-yadding over a lot of things because I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's okay.
If I didn't have notes and I had paused and gone back and rewatched and taken notes and did and gone back again and rewatched again because I again got distracted.
That would have been torture.
That was torture, but we wouldn't have notes.
I'm sorry you had to do all that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all what right. I do for this show. Usually it's not that hard. Usually I love watching it and it's just mostly I have to pause to take notes and then continue. Not in this case.
Well, I'm curious to hear your post-episode thoughts.
Boring.
Mm-hmm.
Boring, boring, boring. I mean, literally, I was waiting when I finished it. I was like, waiting for you to watch it so that I can tell you how boring it was. That's how boring it was. It's not a bad episode. The idea of it is quite interesting. Voyager just did mm-hmm. it better, which made me also in hindsight, like we're comparing it to that. And maybe on its own back in 2000, it was better. I don't know. It's hard to tell because in 2026, it's not.
It would be interesting to have that comparison, but clearly it can't happen.
Yeah. It's not a bad episode. It's just a boring episode. It's just a good cast, good ideas, I think overall the story is not bad. right? It's an interesting story, like the whole thing. Oh, what if you have sci-fi? You have a different life that someone put on you, and you're living a completely different life, but kind of somehow your real life is still shining through. Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good yeah. premise, right? And it's just, I don't know what it is. It just was boring.
It's a great premise, but I feel like it just didn't come together yeah. in a story yeah. that could be as compelling as mm-hmm. we could have gotten.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe it was not great writing. I don't know. It was directed nicely. I did never felt that the direction, I mean, other than the special effect that one time, the direction was off. It's just, I don't know. It's just, okay. Yeah. Seen it, don't have to watch it again. It's not negative. It's just like, okay. It was not like, oh my God, what did I watch? I wasted my time. It was just like, I didn't care.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
But so, what are your thoughts?
Well, I already said with the intro, the teaser we got, there was a potential for a really interesting mm-hmm. Teal'c episode.
Yes.
A really fun Teal'c episode. We didn't get it at all.
Teal'c disappears basically most of the episode. Just to pop up at the yeah. end to save the day, but...
Yeah, just like... seriously, literally just pop up at the end to throw a couple guys.
Deus ex Teal'c.
Yes. That's, yes, that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
In that scene. It was a story that it didn't hook me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find it that compelling.
Yeah, maybe the problem.
It had so much potential. I feel like the cinematography of this episode
mm-hmm.
that was done well.
Yeah.
And the horrible special effect with the skylight. Yes, it was horrible. It didn't bother me.
Didn't bother me. I noted it, but I was like, yeah, whatever.
But you know, also when that was shown on televisions of the year 2000.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. In SD.
In SD, it would have played well enough.
Yeah. You wouldn't even be able to tell there's glass anywhere. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
so, you know, it's okay. But I felt like we had this episode that had so much potential, but it played out as kind of a nothing burger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of. As I said, it's like, that's why I didn't understand the 7.4 from IMDb. I'm like,
yeah, I'm very surprised at that rating.
Yeah, I'm like, what did people see? That
am I missing something?
Yeah.
Because
I mean, okay, there's maybe not... maybe there's one thing. The Carter-Jack interactions, and kind of a little bit Keegan and Daniel. I can see people liking that, because I did like that. Like, that was my favorite part. Carter-Jack and, like, that closeness. I love that. And maybe that's what people saw, and that's why I got a 7.4. But that's literally, that's it. That's all I can come up with.
That's one little enough? Part of know. A whole episode. But, yeah, okay.
Is that enough? I don't know.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. I could go on, but I mm-hmm. don't need to.
You don't need to.
So what's your Chevron rating for this one?
I'm debating, because on the one hand, it's not that bad. On the other hand, it's kind of boring. So I'm like, mm-hmm. is it worth a 5 because it's not that bad? Or is it a 4 because it's boring? And I think I'm going to give it a 4. Because I know not every episode can be a masterpiece in this season. But this wasn't even a filler. It didn't feel like a filler episode where it's like, oh, we have to do a bottle episode and fill in something for cheap. It didn't feel mm-hmm. like that. It was, I mean, they had they were at the sets and at or at that power station.
And they, all of that. They had a lot of people in this episode.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, that wasn't a cheap episode. And for that, I'm sorry, it just didn't work for me.
So, okay. So I'll accept that. I've been torn on this episode as well on my rating.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was not, I didn't find it to be a compelling story. I was mm-hmm. not engaged. Yeah. I got up and started doing some other things. I went and made snacks. I didn't even pause it while I was doing that.
Yeah. But maybe it was good for that, right? It's a good episode to do that. If you want to watch something and do something else, watch this episode.
Then watch this episode. So it does have more intrinsic value than I realized.
Maybe.
The story didn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
The way they use the sets, the cinematography, I thought that was done really well.
Mm-hmm. It was.
And so for that part, I'm questioning, should I rate it higher than I was going to, or go with my rating based on my reaction to the story mm-hmm. in general?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling now, after we've talked through all this, I should go with my feeling for the story in general.
Yes.
So at I'm not going to day, rate it as high as I was.
At the end of the day, it's the whole package, right? And yeah. Like the best cinematography cannot make up for a meh story.
No, as we have seen today.
Yes.
Yeah. So this one's a 3. I would have wow. given it a 4 for the cinematography oh, okay. part, but
I thought you would agree with me. It's a 4. I thought your low was a 4, but okay, hey, that surprised me, but I get it.
You know,
I get it.
This is the first time I've watched an episode where I got up
mm-hmm.
and walked around and did yeah. other things.
Yeah.
And didn't feel like yeah. I had an obligation to pause the TV.
Yeah. You know, now you got me questioning my 4 because I'm like, I did have that same issue. So is it really a 3 for me?
It's all right. So with Emancipation, mm-hmm. that's the one.
That was I a believe, 0.
Yeah, that was the lowest rated 0. Episode we yes. did.
I think that was a
0. And
didn't even dial the gate.
No, didn't need to.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to change mine. Oh, I just wow. decided. I just decided. I'm like, there has to be a bottom. The bottom is 0. And not, I mean, I was hoping we wouldn't go down to 3 ever again. But this kind of, as I said, the fact that I had to fight my ADHD for this kind of makes it a 3.
It's, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I usually don't change my mind on ratings once I've done it, but talking to you about it and hearing your argument, I'm like, no, you're right.
Okay, everyone, just full disclosure, I was not intending to talk Patrice down on her score.
You were not. I was just like, when you were talking about it, I just thought about mine. I'm like, maybe I was too generous.
It's, you know, I do relate this one to Emancipation a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think the difference here for me is that with Emancipation, we were still new enough in the show, because that was one of the very first episodes. I watched the whole thing without getting up. And part of what kept me sitting there was I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
I think if this had been a season 1 episode, I would have sat through the whole thing without getting up.
Yeah.
But we're far enough. We're almost halfway through season 4.
We're spoiled by better episodes.
Way better episodes. And yes. I did not feel obligated to sit.
No. No, you're right. Yeah, the
Emancipation is still worse.
Way worse, yeah. No, I mean, there have been worse episodes than this one. That's why I said, like, it wasn't particularly bad. But I didn't factor in the what you that's why I changed mine, because what I didn't factor in was the how hard for me it was to even follow. I was thinking, okay, I didn't care about the story and like that kind of part. I was like, okay, that's a 4. But I did not really think about like how hard, because it's in the past, how hard it really was to sit through that for me.
It was difficult for me, and I don't even have ADHD.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is the lowest rating we've had on a on an episode.
In this season, definitely.
In
probably
this season.
The last as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if we had any this low in season 3.
Don't think
well,
so.
Well, you know, we're going to have to check Brian's spreadsheet.
Oh, I could really quickly have a look at that. Let's see, season 3. I don't see any 3s. We had 1-4. We had 1-4 in season 3. The last 3 that I see is in season 2, Out of Mind. Actually, that makes sense. The cliffhanger episode of season 2.
Oh, yeah. That one kind of sucked.
Yeah. You gave it a 2, by the way. I gave it a 3.
I'm harsh.
Yeah, but it also makes sense because you're watching it for the first time and I know future things. But not for this one, because I'm like,
well, I'll you started you off far... our episode saying you couldn't remember this one.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think it has. I mean, if it has any lasting impact, then I don't remember it.
Yeah, well, it's...
Yeah, so you have to go back all the way to season 2 to even get to a 3.
Well, we have said before, not every episode can be the best.
Yes.
And this has not put me off of Stargate.
Yeah.
I'm expecting the next episode will be significantly better.
Yeah. The season 3 average was 6.2 on my side and 6.1 on your side. Just saying.
So I guess I am a little harsher overall than you are with the episodes.
Yeah, but marginally. We're within 0.2 usually. 0.3 in season 2. All right.
All right, so what's coming up next? So I can give you a horrible prediction.
let's see what you make out of that one. Point of No Return is the title. I have not looked up the German one, but I think I don't have to, because usually it's spoilers.
Of course it is. Point of No Return.
Nope, I'm not going to tell you. I was kind of debating because it's very close to the English one, but I am not going to tell you.
It's probably just far enough off to give me too much information.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was just thinking about. Like, will that Point of No Return gives you many options? Will that narrow down that space a little bit if I give that to you? And I think the answer is yes. So I'm not going to.
All right.
Yeah. So, by the way, why can't we all be French or Italian? Because they just translated it. Or Spanish.
This is one of the things I love about our German translators. They're like, yeah, you came up with the title.
Yeah.
But screw that. We've got something better.
Japanese is also funny. I'm not going to tell you, but it's completely different. Completely different. German is at least close enough. And Japanese is like, what if we did something completely different?
Well, yeah.
Okay, Point of No Return. What's your predictions?
We are coming to a point with, oh God, what would it be? There's something where we've reached a point where it's like, we're what's a good way to put
that is it? Point of No Return, yes, but what does it
mean? Yeah.
But what do we have?
Yeah.
What do we do?
Maybe we're going back to a Goo Old episode.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And there's... Okay, let's go with this. It's a Goo Old episode. We're seeing the consolidation of the different factions. And it puts... our Stargate team in a position where they have to, what are they going to have to do? I'm crafting a whole story here. It's going to be better than this one.
You don't have to. Just like, do not have to craft a story. Like, just an idea or like a direction is enough.
Yeah. I think this has to do with a consolidation of the Gould factions, and it creates a scenario where it changes the game fundamentally for Stargate Command and Earth's allies.
For Stargate Command and Earth's allies.
Is that a reasonable...
I think that is a reasonable way. I mean, it's like a fundamental change is quite... Yeah, you can tell. Like, okay, this changes everything kind of thing. Okay. I mean, this is also a mid-season episode, right? So remember that. So that kind of would fit, I would say. For that type of time. We'll see if that is true or not.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you, but...
But we'll know before long, because there's a couch that's waiting for me.
And a TV, and hopefully you don't have to get up and do other things, because it's so warm.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So, we'll see. I mean, I could have a quick look at the IMDb rating. So if we wanted to see what the IMDb rating is, links, IMDb.
I can hardly wait.
7.6. So
same
as this time, but with IMDb, you never know. It might be the best episode ever and people just don't like it because reasons.
Or it might be crap, but it gets a 7.4.
Exactly. You just never know. Yeah, so we'll have to go watch it, and then, we'll have to go watch it.
You're probably looking forward to my text message to you afterwards.
so much. I'm just looking at, there's some interesting guest stars in this one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Anyone I'll recognize? You don't have to tell me who, just...
I think so. At least I recognized him. He's a well-known character.
Okay.
Just to look real quick, what he's most known for. Being John Malkovich, he was in. And in Kingpin. Interesting.
Okay.
And so on. Like, it's background actor. It's not like the main character, but.
Okay.
Sex and the City. Yeah, and he's still, I mean, 2021 was his last credit, so. He's still alive.
So active, still fairly recently.
Yeah. Oh, no, he died in 2021. That's why.
Oh, that would end it right there. Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, died in 2021. He was also in Supergirl. He was in Hawaii 5-0. He was in Magnum PI, the new one, not the old one. Well, maybe he was in the old one. I haven't scrolled back far enough. I'll tell him his name. Willie Garson is his name. Because when you see him, you might recognize him. He's definitely a recognizable. Okay. 2.5 Men. He was like, he's been around, and you've definitely seen him. Like, I would assume you would recognize him.
I probably will. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I don't spoil anything by telling you what the guest, one of the guest stars, because I'm not telling you that Ronnie Cox is back or something like that.
That would be a big spoiler. Yeah.
Exactly. No, this is just he plays a character.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's what actors do.
That's what they do. All right. I think it is time to close the iris so I can go watch the next episode and then laugh about my prediction.
We talked way too much about this episode, to be honest.
We needed therapy. This became a therapy episode.
Yes.
Yeah. So, before we close the iris, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm with you on the British Tech Network, on The Big Show on Thursdays, and The Mac Show on Fridays. And you can find everything I am doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, the cool things that I pick on podcasts, all of that on my website, thepatrice.com. We'll take you there.
Awesome. All right. Then for me, Jay Gamut on the social medias, mostly on Mastodon, Pixelfed, and Blue Sky. And I'll pick just two shows. So let's pick The Context Machine that I do with Brian Chaffin. And Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. There are
both
plenty
very
more.
Cool. Yes. Very cool shows.
They're a lot of fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I suppose I should tell people where they can find Retro Rewatch. Excuse me. Okay, first there's the website, retrorewatch.com. And we have email, hello@retrorewatch.com.
Yeah.
And we have Mastodon, which is retrorewatch@techhangout.social.
Yep.
And Blue Sky is @retrorewatch.com.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I think I got it all, didn't I?
You did. Very
Go
much so.
Go me.
Go you.
All right. So with that, yeah, let's watch a better episode and then come back and talk about that. Mm-hmm. So time to close the iris. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. And Patrice, thank you for being so awesome. It's always just an absolute treat to do shows with you.
Yeah, same.